Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is 409, 97 degrees here on this Tuesday, June 24th, 2025. We're chugging along for the week here. It is only Tuesday, but we will get through it. But like every Tuesday, we bring in our friend Tommy Marquez. He's a Navy veteran. He was a senior staffer in Congress for many years, and now he helps us navigate that system for the benefits and information that our veterans should know and have earned. Tommy, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob. I'm trying to keep up with everything. I'm as busy as that Lackawanna County meeting that you guys are going to have here. That docket is full. Boy, I'll tell you what, you got veterans benefits on the docket, a $500,000 loan. Some serious times out there in Lackawanna County.
Yeah, yep, there's a lot happening here. So what's happening in the world today? I saw we have a new new Navy Judge Advocate General. There was some general appointments made by the administration today.
Yeah, I'm excited about this because it's not your typical career path for a staff judge advocate. For those people who don't know, the JAG officer, the head JAG officer for the Navy, is in charge of both the Navy and Marine Corps and all of their enforcement of the UCMJ, everything from punishing military members for misconduct to contracts within the military.
It's basically the attorney general for the Navy.
Yes, yeah, that's a great explanation of it. And normally these individuals aren't academy grads. They're usually ROTC officers, meaning they went to a university. Then they go to law school, they get their law license, and then they get hired into the military. That is a typical route that JAG officers have. Very few go to an academy or go to a military school and then, you know, go in into the military and become JAGs in the military. Well, this gentleman, Major General Bly, this is really interesting. He's from Athens, Pennsylvania, so he's a Pennsylvania native there. Went to Indiana University and was a graduate in 1997 of Georgia Law School. But what I like about him, he went to the platoon leader's course as a Marine. He served in the 2nd Assault Amphibian Battalion as a Marine Corps officer. Later on, he went to the Navy Justice School when he was a major and became a civil law officer. So he has time in the Marine Corps as an active duty officer, as an infantry officer, which I think is paramount and a great sign potentially for things to come, because far too often you have individuals who are judging the split-second hair reactions of our military service members and making a judgment on them when they've never actually been in that environment. Just looking at his uniform, I see that he has a combat action ribbon. He has other deployments on the Tarawa with a MU. He was at Marine Corps Air Station New River, North Carolina, where he was part of the director of the Joint Law Center there. So a lot of legal experience and a lot of experience as a Marine Corps officer. I don't think people understand and can even fathom that in the military, you could have people who represent you who know very little about the military. And they know even less about what it's like to be in a combat situation. So the fact that this individual is going to have some of that is a good sign, in my opinion. I think that President Trump probably got a lot of counsel from our friend, Attorney Tim Pallitzer, who is also a Navy judge advocate now. And I think it's a good step because you're seeing the total shift in the culture of the military, just like you are in the VA. And, Rob, that culture is paying off, this shift. I talked to you last month, I believe it was, Rob, about the Army meeting its recruiting goals 4 months early. Well, I'm a Navy guy, and sure enough, the Navy is always a little bit behind on the Army. they went ahead and they met the recruiting goal 3 months early. So I think the culture change that you're seeing within the military, we're not going after people for tattoos of the flag, of crosses. We're trying to recruit people who want to be in the military. We're removing commercials where, like, hey, join us if you want to be inclusive, and DEI matters to us. People want a meritocracy who are joining the military. That's typically the person's MO who wants to be in the military, and restoring that is going a long way at bringing back our force. And I think you saw also, Rob, this action against Iran, this was a really big achievement because the military, let's just be honest, Rob, it's taken a hit the last couple of years. I mean, what do you think? Do you think the military is kind of, you know, during the Biden years after the fall of Afghanistan, I'm sure you had lots of callers. I remember listening to some who were pretty upset, and they thought that the military wasn't any longer what it once was because we abandoned our post there. I'm sure you got a lot of that. And I think doing this action and the way it was done successfully, no injuries, no casualties, and beyond that, the ability to have secrecy. I mean, we had WikiLeaks. We've had all these things come out lately, SignalGate, all this, and this kind of shows that our military is starting to get back to the focus of doing the task at hand, which is imposing our will throughout the world and being able to reach out and touch a foreign country like we did, and no harm comes to them, and total secrecy in the darkness of the night, I think is paramount for our recruiting, along with having good judge advocate JAG officers who are going to be able to look at the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law, and judge people by a standard that's reasonable when it comes to combat. I think those are all things that are leading to these recruiting numbers going up in the Navy, going up in the Army. And I think it's paramount that we have that right now. We need it now more than ever.
Yeah, and just to put it in layman's terms so a lot of listeners can understand how it works normally for a military lawyer, for a JAG officer, especially moving up the chain of command. Usually they're in OCS or ROTC or something like that. And if they get accepted to law school and they're a member in the military will pay for their law school in exchange for them being a lawyer in the military once they graduate, just like being a doctor or anything else. You know, there's those contracts out there. So you have someone who's basically judging these cases or defending these cases or prosecuting these cases that has only been a lawyer. Now, they wear a uniform. They do the basics that military members do, but they work in an air-conditioned office, usually in D.C. or Coronado or some base like that or Norfolk. But they've never been deployed anywhere. They've never seen much of anything. They may have done a stint on a carrier as the JAG officer on a strike group or something like that. But other than that, you know, they're really just basically being a lawyer on the ship and have office hours on the ship not like everyone else who's actually doing combat roles. You know, they're dealing with the everyday, you know, disciplinary actions through the different commanders and such on those ships. But they've only been a lawyer. So, like you said, to have this person with his combat experience on the ground coming up as an infantry officer through the ranks and now being in charge of everything is just outstanding.
Yeah, I think it's a good move in the right direction. And I've known military JAG officers who were in 20 years and they only went to the Pentagon for about 15 years and they had one or two other commands posts. So, just think about this, people. If you're a pilot, and you're going to be judged like Sully. Everybody remembers the story of Sully in New York when he landed the plane. When he was judged about keeping his license as a pilot, the entire panel was made up of other pilots, all former pilots, right? You're a lawyer when the standard is passing the bar or a review on your character, your morality, and everything as an attorney. The bar is done by other attorneys. When you're a doctor, you get your license and everything's done through other doctors. Can you imagine in the military, the one thing that we have split-second reaction time on is being in the military, in a combat zone, and reacting. And you're judged by somebody who has no combat experience, no knowledge of the system, who's never been up all night, or never had all of his buddies just blown up 2-3 days straight in a row due to IEDs, and is not in that war zone, never even been there. That makes zero sense. Doctors don't do that. Pilots don't do that. Attorneys themselves don't do that. But yet, that's the standard that we have for our military who are in these unbelievable, tough predicaments. And I think this is a step in the right direction. Just having somebody who's been in those arenas, I think, makes a world of difference.
No doubt. No doubt indeed. Now, I did see, I'm looking for it, if I could find it here. I did get a notification from the Department of Veterans Affairs that they have pushed through over 2 million cases of backlogs on things. Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, I reported this a while ago on my TikTok page and Instagram and Facebook, where the Navy's backlog, excuse me, the VA's backlog has just been getting just completely decimated. What they've done is they prioritize cases that are extremely long, that they've had a long wait. And they've been going through them. They're using all sorts of new methods and technologies already, is my understanding, to get through the backlog. Now, I've heard a bunch of lies on social media, Rob, from people saying, oh, they're just disproving everyone's case. And I had somebody who said just yesterday on my TikTok page, said, well, they're disproving all the cases. I know that in Oceanside, that the VA there has disproved of every case in the last month. And I explained there is actually no VA regional office who handles claims in the city of Oceanside, California. That's completely untrue. There's all sorts of misinformation going out there. I think what people don't understand, a lot of the backlog is cases that have already been disproved. They were not approved. And a lot of those cases, they need to get new evidence. And when they provide that evidence, the problem is it's a 6 to 8 year wait for it to get, you know, reviewed. So imagine if you go to your car repair shop, and the first time you go around, they're like, hey, it's misfiring. And they send you home and it's still misfiring. And you come back and they say, hey, listen, it's still misfiring. You need to fix it. And they go, okay, but now you're going to go all the way in the back of the line and it's going to be 3 or 4 more days before you're seen. No, they would work on your car first because you already had been seen. So what they've done at the VA is they look at those cases and they're saying, hey, if you provided the evidence, we're going to look at it right now. And so they're going with the oldest claims first, and they're just having a lot of information now that they're able to look at because the evidence is there and they're being able to approve these cases. I have not seen the percentage, but I've actually already reached out to the VA to ask, what is the percentage of the backlog that is being approved?
I have it right in front of me, Tommy. Yeah, the VA sent out a press release today, and VA processes more than 2 million disability claims in record time. This was sent today at 9:30 a.m. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs announced today that it processed more than 2 million disability benefit claims for veterans in fiscal year 2025, faster than ever before. The VA achieved this milestone more than a month faster than an all-time record reached in fiscal year 2024. At this pace, VA will surpass the previous record number of completed disability claims by more than 14% this year. VA has already awarded more than $120 billion in compensation and pension benefits for veterans and survivors in fiscal year 2025.
See, culture matters, Rob. That's what people don't understand. The culture at the VA has just been toxic for, quite frankly, several presidencies. It has just been really, really toxic. And what we see now is a change in the belief system of like, hey, we need just a lot of people here. No, you don't actually need a lot of people. What you need is people who want to be there, who want to do the work. And make the VA about the veterans that are coming to them, not the people who work in the buildings. When you go to Walmart, they don't build Walmart. They don't put supplies out, and they don't carry stock for stuff that the employees want. They don't take breaks in the middle of the day because the employees want breaks. They make it so it's there for the customer. And the problem with the VA is they have never, ever, until now, taken the mentality that the veteran that comes to them is a customer, and that there's that they have this belief that there's no competition for us, so therefore we can be crummy. Well, we got to get out of that mindset, and it looks like we are, and I'm proud of the numbers that they're getting done over there at the VA, and I'm proud of what Secretary Collins is doing. You don't need all these people. You're going to get way better productivity with people who are volunteering versus people who are there because they're prisoners. That's just the reality. Attitude matters, culture matters, and we're seeing that at the VA and the DOD.
You know, I just sent you that release, so you have it now. And what I got out of that
$120
billion given to our veterans in fiscal year 2025 against all the rhetoric that they were just going to cut veterans' benefits. But it doesn't look like with $100 billion going out so far. Tommy, I'm running behind, so I'm going to have to leave it there. I appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks, Rob. Thank you.
Take care. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio 420. Coming up on 429 here, 96 degrees. I just shared that press release I got from the Department of Veterans Affairs this morning for you, so you could read it and you could dive into it and you could share it and send it to your loved ones who may have been scared by those on a certain political party who wanted to terrify our veterans, who wanted to torture them, who wanted to tell them that their veterans' benefits were going to be cut. They're taking things away from you. You're going to get less services. You're in danger. Well, we hit a record with our Veterans Affairs, and they're chipping into the backlog that's been there. $120 billion so far in this fiscal year, making sure that these veterans get what they deserve. Not talk, not lip service, not fear. Get what they deserve. So you can look at that press release from the Department of Veterans Affairs. It is on my Facebook page. Check it out there. Well, attacks against ICE agents are up 500%. Gee, I wonder why that is, huh? The latest arrest for attempted murder of a U.S. attorney, TDA attacks against federal agents. Attacks against U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement are now up 500%, Department of Homeland Security says, up from 431% earlier this month. So it's gone up 70% just this month. From the beginning to the now, earlier this month, the attacks increased. Assailants continued to be arrested, including members of the terrorist organization Tren de Agua, a Mexican national who dragged an ICE agent officer 50 yards by car, and a Salvadorian national charged with attempted murder of a U.S. attorney. After Hondurans and protesters were arrested for allegedly attacking federal agents during a worksite enforcement in Omaha, Nebraska, a Tren de Agua member and Venezuelan national was arrested for attempted murder for special agents in Bellevue, Nebraska. On June 18th, ICE Homeland Security Investigations Omaha led an operation to arrest Venezuelan national and alleged Tren de Agua gang member Gabriel Hurtado Quirquego in Bellevue. As federal agents attempted to take him into custody, he launched a brutal and premeditated assault on an ICE HSI special agent, involving throwing the ICE agent to the ground, slamming her head to the pavement, ripping off her body armor, and making repeated physical violent contacts, punching her in the face several times. She suffered serious injuries to her head and arm, was transported to University of Nebraska Medical Center for treatment. She has since been released and recovering. Also assaulted an FBI agent, as per DHS. He fled the scene but was apprehended roughly an hour later, according to DHS. He was charged with attempted murder of a federal officer, assault of a federal officer, and infliction of bodily injury. So here's this female agent, this woman, who is a member of the Department of Homeland Security, swears to serve and protect our nation, out there enforcing the laws that our cowards in Washington have passed, want to complain about all the time but want to do nothing to change. Stirring up rhetoric to place a target on this poor woman's back, who's probably a mom, a daughter, no doubt, a sister, a mother, a person like you and I. She's doing a job. She's out there enforcing the laws that have been passed by these cowards who want to stir up rhetoric against them for politics, for their own survivability, their own sustainability in Washington. Where it's become okay for something like this to happen. It's disgraceful. It is truly disgraceful. You hear the rhetoric. Let's bandit ICE. Let's disband ICE. Let's do this. Let's do that. Have you seen any of the Democrats get together in Washington and say, here's our comprehensive immigration reform? No. And I'm not talking about their nonsense border security bill that let 7,500 illegal immigrants come into our country each day. That stopped. That's done. That was proven to be a lie to you for 4 years. But where's their legislation? Where's their alternative? Where's their, here, we have a plan for you. For anyone who's been here over 5 years, 5 to 15 years, here's what you need to do.
Anyone who's been here 15 years to 25 years, here's what you need to do. Anyone who's been here over 25 years, here's the criteria you need to meet. We've come to the bipartisan support that you will never get citizenship, but you will have a permanent resident green card if you meet these criteria. They're not doing that because they don't want to do that, because that's not their goal. Their goal is not to fix the immigration system. Their goal is to weaponize it for their own political sustainability and power. That's it. That's it. And we fall for it time and time again. It's 4:34 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice. On this day, June 24th, we have one from Pennsylvania. Police officer John Alphonse Schmidt, Philadelphia Police Department in Pennsylvania, on June 24th, 1970. He suffered a fatal heart attack after carrying an elderly man down a flight of stairs while on a medical call at approximately 8 a.m. He and his partner had responded to a man's home at 4847 North Warnock Avenue for an emergency call. Approximately 2 hours later, he told his partner he wasn't feeling well. His partner transported him to Albert Einstein Medical Center, where he passed away. He was a United States Air Force veteran of the Korean War and have served with the Philadelphia Police Department for 13 years. He was survived by his wife and four children. And that's our one from here in Pennsylvania on this June 24th. It is coming up on 4:41 here at WILK. It's time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? On this day, June 24th, let's see what we have in history today, some notable events. The Berlin airlift begins 1948. In response to the Soviet blockade of West Berlin, the United States and its allies launched the Berlin airlift. American and British planes began delivering food and supplies to more than 2 million residents in West Berlin. This became one of the first major crises of the Cold War and a powerful symbol of Western resolve against Soviet aggression. 1997. Wow, we took a jump there. The U.S. Air Force releases the Roswell Report. Case closed. Is it, though? The Air Force published its final report on the Roswell UFO incident, dismissing the theory that alien spacecraft and attributing to the debris to a top-secret military balloon program called Project Mogul. The report sought to address and debunk decades of UFO conspiracy theories tied to the 1947 crash. If you've ever been to Roswell, New Mexico, I highly recommend it. There's actually nothing there really to do. There's a main street with a few restaurants and a few bars. The New Mexico Military Academy there, which is considered the West Point of the West. My son Gavin went there for a year prior to attending the Naval Academy. He was basically sent there for his red shirt year. And it's a strange place to be. When I went there to drop him off, we flew out there to Albuquerque and drove a couple hours south to Roswell through the desert. And you go into Roswell, and their streetlights are all alien heads, and the McDonald's there has a UFO crashed into it. It's a cool place to visit, but there's really not a lot there. The New Mexico Military Institute is a great grounds to walk around. It's smaller than West Point, but you know, that kind of barracks look of an old military-type school. And they do have their parades and their formations and their football and all that there, too. But Roswell was a unique town, and I was introduced to a bug there. Now, mind you, the locusts, when you're running on the track, there's locusts everywhere. They jump out of the way when it's their time of year. But there was this bug that it was a cross between a scorpion and a spider. And it's called a vinegaroon. And basically, it's called that because it shoots this vinegar-smelling acid at its enemies. But it's got pinchers like a scorpion. It's got legs like a spider, and it has sort of a tail like a scorpion. It can bite, it can pinch, but it doesn't have a stinger. And they're about 3 to 4 inches long. and they're odd-looking, something you've never seen out here, but they're called vinegaroon. And I took a picture of one back then because it was that strange to me. And then you have these giant wasps and tarantulas certain times of years. They get to fighting, and it's an interesting place. But not far from there, a couple-hour drive through the Lincoln National Forest, which is unbelievably gorgeous, the Native American land that you drive through there with the – they have their little houses, but then they – certain times of years, they have their teepees set up in front to have their traditional ceremonies and such. It's a really a odd place to pretty place to drive through. And then you get to White Sands, which is unbelievably beautiful. Again, not much there. There's a little town, a couple of restaurants to eat. You do have the military base there. But White Sands National Park is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. I mean, think of flower everywhere. I mean, that's pretty much what it looked like. So let's get on with today in history. 1974, U.S. Supreme Court on the Nixon tapes. Although the landmark United States versus Nixon decision officially came in July 24th of 1974, was when the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the case, paving the way for the unanimous decision requiring President Nixon to release the White House tapes that ultimately led to his resignation and the Watergate scandal. Some famous birthdays today. We have Jack Dempsey, 1895, legendary heavyweight boxing champion of 1920s. Jeff Beck, 1944, influential guitarist, known for his role as shaping modern rock, while British, his impact on American music was profound. And Mindy Kaling, 1979, actress, writer, producer for her work in The Office and The Mindy Project. So that's what we have today. Is it raining outside, Jake? It's pouring outside, huh? Look at that. There is rain coming through, Ari. I did hear it. Might as well check the radar for you guys while I'm here, because I don't think rain was in the forecast today, but it's coming down here on us. And it may be just here. We'll see. Pulling up the radar now. It'll take us. It's just here. It's raining by us and in Blakesley. Those are the only two places it's raining. So Mount Pocono, there's one little storm headed towards you, and just over Pittston and Exeter, right here. Like an old forge, it's not raining, or it doesn't look like it as per the radar. Wilkes-Barre, it's not raining. Dixon City, it's not raining. There's two little dots of rain, and it happens to be right over the station here. Interesting. I guess they knew Jeff Walker from WKRZ here had his no top on his Jeep outside, so the weather gods said they were going to screw with Jeff today. Jake, you weren't here yesterday, but I guess someone came in and ducked his Jeep. So he had a big yellow duck on the roof with the middle finger coming off of it.
I did see that, yeah.
And a bunch of little ducks all around it. So now the weather gods are playing games with that. But that's pretty much today in history. So hopefully tomorrow we'll have some more little ditties for you. It's coming up on 4:52 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 4:55, 96 degrees here. Somebody says, hey, Rob, sure it's uncomfortably hot. I worked in a non-air-conditioned restaurant for 15 years. How about our fire and first responders in full gear? Fighting fire, running down the streets at a gun belt and bulletproof vest? We are a bunch of little candy asses. Yes, we are. We are indeed, when you put it in that perspective. Crazy way to go. I remember when I was a rookie police officer in Midtown Manhattan, when I was working in New York City Transit Police. Anytime I got assigned to 42nd Street and 5th Avenue, upstairs from that train station. Now, you had the N and the R trains at that time, came from Queens and Brooklyn into New York. Upstairs, you had five different modeling agencies, Ford Modeling Agency and a bunch of the other ones. Ford was the bigger one at the time. And anytime you got that post, I don't care if it was 110 degrees, which it was in the subway a lot of times, especially back then before they had air-conditioned cars and everything like that. It was hot. And I remember standing there at my post in front of there, and you stood there the entire day because it was a great place to be. All you had were models coming from both Queens and Brooklyn all day, the entire time you were there, working a 7 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon shift. 42nd Street and 5th Avenue, I'll never forget it. Right upstairs, there were 3 or 4 different modeling agencies. And it doesn't matter how hot it was, you were always standing on post. A lot of times, you know, you'd get up towards the top of the subway so you get a breeze from upstairs, you know, from the city canyons. The breeze would come through the city streets pretty nice. Nope, I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to sweat. And that's the way it was. Somebody also just chimed in. I wonder how the businessmen in the 20s and 30s and 40s survived in wool suits and New York City skyscrapers with no air conditioning. Well, you know, in those skyscrapers, you open those windows, you get a pretty good breeze. But I do hear what you're saying there. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, we talk about the issues with our higher education, with our academia, and they're really devastating themselves. They're really taking themselves out of the equation. And good, because it's time for a reset. Hopefully more people take up the trades rather than get a useless degree from useless professors at a useless university. Hence this Georgetown professor, where now he's backtracking and saying violence was not intended when he called for Iran to strike the U.S. bases. On his X account, Professor Jonathan Brown posted, "I'm not an expert, but I assume Iran could still get a bomb easily. I hope Iran does something symbolic, strike on a base, then everyone stops." So this was before they shot missiles at us yesterday. This was shortly before the Iranian attack on a U.S. military base. Georgetown professor posted that he hoped there would be a strike, later stating that violence was not his intent. He just wanted Iran to show us, and hopefully we stopped. Yes, because that would make us stop. If they injured a single American, make no mistake, there would have been retaliatory strikes that would have rocked the Iranian regime yesterday. But the fact that they let us know ahead of time, the fact that they hit nothing, they injured no one, and not a single American was wounded, let us walk away and let it be. Brown is Georgetown University's chair of Islamic civilization in the School of Foreign Service, according to his school bio. This is who's teaching your youth at a top Ivy League school, Georgetown University. It's up there with the Ivies. What, a $300,000 education? That's what it gets you. This is what you're sending your kids for. Neither the professor or Georgetown's media relations have responded to media's request for comment. Brown's comment, comments followed the U.S. attack on 3 Iranian nuclear facilities on Saturday night, touting that Iran should strike us back. It's coming up on 5 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.